TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
In good. Goldberg back up to his feet. And a headbutt by Goldberg. And Goldberg with knees and another knee. Finally creating separation. He's got him where he wants him. Goldberg's got feet where he wants him. Can he do this? Can Goldberg do this?
He can't. He can't.
He will.
Jackhammer. Cover by Goldberg. Shoulders down. He did it. Goldberg's the Universal Champion.
I can't believe it.
Here's your winner. And the new
Fiend was next. Goldberg, now a two-time Universal Champion.
Bullshit! 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 Bullshit!
Phoenix!
Hey, yo.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
It's Pastoral Down.
You straight punk bitch!
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up!
Brandon Morales,
the biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere!
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
And Greg DeMarco.
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Because it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome.
The long show opening returns. We are now 3 minutes and 13 seconds into recording. Before a word was spoken, my name is Greg DeMarco. This is Chair Shot Radio, not the Greg DeMarco show, like I said about 14 times during the hashtag Miranda show last week. This is the Greg DeMarco show, not Pod is War, like I hosted on Friday. This is Chair Shot Radio, not the Greg DeMarco show. One day I will get that through my head, and when I do, then we'll change it back. My name is Greg DeMarco. You can find me on all of your forms of social media at ChairShotGreg. ChairShot Radio is part of the ChairShot Radio Network, which you can find at TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And over at eWrestlingNews.com. Some housekeeping for the podcast scheduled at eWrestlingNews.com that we'll get to in a moment. But before we do, first I want to introduce to you the second member of the Trios Champions of Pro Wrestling Podcasting. He's been here since day one-ish. He's the wrestling realist, Patrick O'Dowd. Now that's WrestlingRealist, because there's no I in wrestling, but there is one in realist, and there is one in Patrick, and there's not one in Carmella.
FABULOUS.
What's up, Craig?
You still are, because this is the last of the early weeks for you.
It is the last of the early weeks.
On the recording schedule. So
it's a sad day because the state of Massachusetts hasn't figured this out yet.
No, but
it's been asked.
Those of us in – it's on the ballots in some states. It just never goes through.
Right.
People can't deal with change. We don't have to deal with change out here in the great state of Arizona, including the third member of the Trios Champions of Pro Wrestling Podcasting. You can find her on your social media, at least on Facebook and Instagram, at the hashtag Miranda, because there is an I in Miranda. It's Miranda Morales. I lie,
I cheat, I steal. I can't hear anything. I mean, I hear you, but I don't, like, hear the rest. So I'm just playing this by ear this week.
You can't hear the sound bites?
No.
No, I texted you to try and be nice. I didn't out you like Miranda did on the show.
Yeah, no.
See, like, Miranda just outed you.
I just did, yeah.
I could faintly hear
Carmella's
music.
Yeah, I could faintly hear Carmella's music, but, like, I could not hear any of mine. So, you know. And, I could play dumb because it's just something I do very well, but I just couldn't do it.
Okay, I just tried something. How about now?
A little bit, yes. Still very, very faint. Very, very faint.
Patrick, you were shaking your head?
Very, very faint would be a generous way of describing that.
Okay, nobody talk. I gotta measure a reading on the recording. So nobody talk while I play something. And we'll see how it goes.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Okay, they seem to be coming through on the recording because I'm looking at the recording and it seems to be good. Miranda, you talk.
I'm talking right now.
Okay, Patrick, you talk.
But what if I don't want to?
But you did, so it doesn't matter.
I know.
In true Patrick fashion, you said you didn't want to do something while doing it. Everything looks fine.
What if I don't want to?
Are we even recording? Is this even a thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 7 minutes. 25 seconds in.
Miranda, we keep nothing from the listeners. The listener gets behind the whole curtain.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, this is the podcast, as you said, where we pull out, you know, the curtain.
There is no curtain.
The Chair Shot Radio keeps no secrets.
No, it does not. That's one of the carryovers from the Greg DeMarco show. The Chair Shot Radio knows no secrets, knows no... Look, just to eliminate confusion, I have since titled it Greg DeMarco's Chair Shot Radio, just so if I mess up a lot, people will be like, oh, well, it's just one
so
really
it's
big...
So it's still your show. Hold on. I feel like that's just what this is going to evolve to. Eventually, your name is going to get back into the title.
Wait, did the first week.
This is my yard now.
And Miranda, in the opening song, with the quotes, you literally hear Greg say, and it's my show.
I say,
but it's my show.
Because it's my show.
Something about it's his show.
Yep,
No matter how many times
Miranda
we change the name.
Why do I have to have a buzzer? Even though we haven't had to use the buzzer. Miranda's now a seasoned podcaster. No longer needs buzzer to be a thing. So that's, you know. She's been doing this
also
for
a hallmark
for a
of this show is where we don't talk about wrestling and we just talk about how we've messed up the podcast.
Yes.
That's part
also,
of the show as well.
That's basically the format of
basically
this point.
What we're doing.
So since we're talking about formatting and everything else, I do want to talk about some housekeeping. Met this weekend to go on Sunday to go over some things on the Chair Shot Radio Network side of things, along with eWrestlingNews.com. We're still building the podcast section at eWrestlingNews.com. However, we'll be releasing the podcast as part of the articles, which I'm fine with. So what that means is that the Chair Shot shows will be released pretty much at 6 a.m. each morning over at eWrestlingNews.com. And the schedule is a little bit different than the schedule we have here because some of our shows are not necessarily day specific. Now, we'll start in real time. The Chair Shot Radio, which we do on Tuesday nights, will go up Tuesday night at thechairshot.com. We'll then come out at 6 a.m. in the morning on Wednesday morning over at eWrestlingNews.com. The hashtag Miranda Show will come out later on Wednesday at thechairshot.com, usually around 5 or 6 o'clock. We'll come out at 6 a.m. on Thursday at eWrestlingNews.com. Pod is War will come out Thursday night at thechairshot.com, 6 a.m. Friday Outsider's Edge comes out during the day on Friday. Would come out 6 a.m. on Saturday over at eWrestlingNews.com. Bandwagon Nerds, I got to figure that out because we release it on Tuesdays on over at the chairshot.com. You might get pushed back to Wednesday or to Monday, Patrick. I don't know. Like you might
see again. We are the show that is slowly getting moved into Friday night syndication right in front
but
of.
But no,
the news
Outsider's Edge is already Outsider's Edge is already Friday night syndication. Side
so
note,
the
by the way,
this is the podcast equivalent.
Side note, by the way, when right. Outsider's Edge is a podcast that's on Fridays. But side note,
you missed my joke.
No, I didn't. Well, I just ignored it. There's a difference.
Right, okay.
Kind of like what happened to you during Bandwagon Nerds when Platt made a joke or something like that. I don't know. Now, you missed the joke, and you admitted it, though, to your credit.
Yeah, right. I totally missed it.
The moment you told Dave it was his fault for the show going up late, he went straight lawyer mode, like immediately.
He did. It was
like
hilarious.
All these reasons
really
why
funny.
It wasn't his fault. And I'm sitting there listening, right. and this is, you know I played it during the beginning, but here was me when Dave was talking. Like straight up bully mode on that show this week with Dave.
I was totally
were Greg DeMarcoing his Patrick O'Dowd. Like this was Patrick's. I should have titled that show Patrick's Revenge. Had I known.
Fate is a stripper.
Yes. By the way, it should have been a stripper named Fate, not Fate is a stripper. But I realized that after listening.
Here, as I've thrown Dave under the bus left and right, anyway, that was Dave's fault too, and I'm okay with it. I had so much fun doing that show, and
it was good. So give the people a brief. Give them a brief. What did you guys talk about on?
Oh, we covered. Covered a lot of stuff. We covered a couple of trailers for some movies that are coming out. Daniel Radcliffe's new movie, which I think looks really interesting. We talked a little bit about Jordan Peele. We spent a good deal of time speculating because that's kind of the fun thing about Bandwagon Nerds is speculating over what X-Men we think will actually show up in the MCU. You buzzer
me? I said brief.
Yeah, but there's too much. It was a loaded show, man.
You want to do it again?
Nope.
You sure?
Let's do it again. Yeah, do it again.
I said brief.
Do it.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
I get one. I didn't get one last week either, so... Side note on that, they were begging for that during Pod is War. Like at the end of the show, like we were just messing around towards the end, they were like, play it. You got to play it. Play it right now. They were begging for it, and they don't understand why you guys hate it so much. But you know what? You're allowed to hate it so much. Since Patrick got to give everyone a taste of this week's edition of Bandwagon Nerds, which is available right now over at thechairshot.com, Miranda, tell everybody what they can expect on this week's edition of the Hashtag Miranda Show, because they know, unlike some weeks, we will actually go into this week's with somewhat of a plan.
We do have a plan, baby.
We even have planned improvisation, but we don't want to really talk about that. But we have a plan.
I mean, then it's not improv.
You know on Whose Line Is It Anyway, they rehearsed before they did the show, right? Like
what?
I know.
You guys just, like, I just found out that Santa Claus wasn't real.
You guys, I didn't drop that nugget on you.
You guys, but you shook your head like you knew too. Like y'all were just hiding some secret from me.
Like you really thought they improv that crap?
I mean, some of it, yes.
They did improv some of it, but it's like they knew what was coming. Right. I used to do improv, and when I did improv, guess what? We knew what was coming. We didn't know the lines. We didn't know what the audience was going to throw at us, but we knew what was coming.
Wild card, bitches!
Well, on that note, so on this week's edition of the Hashtag Miranda Show, we're going to be talking about some of the women's championship title changes that have been occurring in different promotions, specifically with Impact, NWA, and what was the last one?
AEW.
And AEW. Yes. So we're going to be talking about all those title changes, what it means for each of those companies' women's divisions, what do these changes mean for women's wrestling in general.
Could you not hear the buzzer, or are we just ignoring the buzzer?
Both.
Okay. That wasn't a both question. That was an either or. I guess it was both. Okay, that's fine. Hopefully you can hear this part of the show because, well, it's a part of the show where Miranda has to participate.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay. Could you guys hear that at all?
No.
Patrick, what about you?
Dead air, okay. Man.
Give me 1 second. I'm going to I have a feeling I can fix it. How about now? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Can hear you.
Okay. Now, let's see. Can you hear this?
It's a shameful thing to bust your head.
Yeah, I see heads nodding. All right, we have achieved success. We're going to start over now. No, we're not, because we're 16 minutes in the show.
No.
Patrick, that also ruined the surprise. It's back.
It's a shameful thing to bust your head.
Lobster head.
Lobster head is back. That's lobster the whole reason why I use the Royal Rumble. For Sheamus this week, you weren't going to get lobster head till the 3 minute warning, but I needed something to test everything out and it's working now. I figured out the setting that apparently I had to change. Well, Pod is War, we started on Google Hangouts and it wasn't working for one of them, Platt. And so we had to switch over to Skype. And we made it work.
Right.
And they were still able to, actually, no, we did it on Hangouts. We did it using Hangouts. That's right. It was something I did on Sunday with PC Tiny that we had to switch over to Skype. So anyway, I'll do a snippet for Pod is War this week. I did get to host Pod is War on Friday night. We released it on Saturday, released it on Monday over at eWrestlingNews.com. Lots of fun. Myself, Andrew Blass, Christopher Platt. Normally, Pod is War is 5 topics. We had 2, and then we just went like typical, it's me. It really is me who causes this. There were no rails after the second topic. They went right along with it, and we did. We talked about everything from AEW, which wasn't on the rundown, to Michael Jackson's Dirty Diana and why that was Michael Jackson's heel turn, and just so many different things in between. I highly recommend you give it a listen. It is Pod is War. It was a lot of fun. PC Tiny was sick. He'll be back this week. And yeah, lots and lots of fun. So I already played the soundbite for Goldberg beating The Fiend over at Super Showdown, better known as Jam in the Sand 5. So what I want to talk about now is just kind of the reaction to that. Goldberg is now a 2-time Universal Champion. He is headed to a WrestleMania Showdown with Roman Reigns. Normally, you know, just for the sake of history, we start with Patrick, but Miranda, we texted a little bit on Friday about the result of this match. Just summer. I don't expect you to remember it, and I don't expect you to scroll back through 100 text messages. What was the gist? What was the gist of our back and forth about Goldberg walking out, flying out of Saudi Arabia with no troubles, by the way, no troubles flying out of Saudi Arabia as Universal Champion?
Luckily, they got that figured out. Good for them. No one got stranded for 24 hours. But I, from what I remember, and I've slept since then, I mean, wasn't a positive reception. It just was something that I think we were going into thinking, okay, this is just a pit stop for The Fiend. This is a great way for The Fiend character to go over. It's been built up that way with the Firefly Funhouse. And for him to get beaten in such a quick manner like that, it really deflated The Fiend for me personally, and this aura and this mysticism around him. And again, I know you're not always a big fan of this word, maybe you are in this context, but to me, I don't think having Goldberg as champion is necessary in this point of his career for the buildup to WrestleMania. If he's going to be at WrestleMania, people are going to watch him regardless. I don't think you need a title for it. So it was kind of disheartening, and I think deflated is the word that I'm going with.
I was there with you. The word I used when we first texted about it was hate. I think I said hate, and then I replied in capital letters with hate. Capital H A T E. And I hated The Fiend having to lose to, like, I hated Goldberg being the one to beat The Fiend and beat The Fiend clean. And yeah, it bothered me that as the aforementioned Pod is War, the title of that show was Four Spears and a Weak Ass Jackhammer. And because that's what happened in that match. And that bothered me too. Not just the Weak Ass Jackhammer, because whatever. If you watch it, And you know, this is, everybody knows what wrestling is. the person receiving the jackhammer has some responsibility in that. And I don't know if he was just tired from the long flight, but it doesn't look like Bray did a very good job of jumping up to get in position for said jackhammer. But then, like, Goldberg didn't even really hook the leg. He just kind of pulled up on the knee pad area of the tights. Like, it was just, it really neutered the Fiend in a way that I wasn't quite ready to see yet. Never mind the fact that then the Fiend's pointing at the WrestleMania sign, you know, not even 36 hours later. But that's not important for this part of the conversation. I just didn't want Goldberg to be the one to beat the Fiend. And I wasn't ready for the Fiend to lose, especially in Saudi Arabia. But it's just, I felt like that was a, there are a few moments that WWE can still do, and the Fiend losing clean was one of them. I don't view the match against Seth Rollins as a loss. I view it more like a no contest because, you know, again, he got hit in the head with a sledgehammer. It's okay to call a match at that point. But to me, this was just, you know, four spears and a weak-ass jackhammer, and I just wasn't too happy about it. But Patrick, let's get your reaction to the same thing.
I think I tweeted when I saw the result, because as you know, I don't watch those shows. I wasn't mad. I was disappointed. And the reason I couldn't say, yeah, I know, it's a dad
that's,
thing.
That's some right? rough, that disappointed cuts deep. Dad. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed for a lot of the reasons that Greg laid out. You've worked so hard to build this character, to build this mystique, to build the Fiend as something special, and to have a special attraction 53-year-old Bill Goldberg beat him. And his age doesn't matter. And I want to be quick to point that out, because AEW had a 50-something-year-old champion as well, and nobody cared. It really is about how, like you said, Greg, it's really about how he went down. Like, that he went down that quickly, that easily, after running roughshod throughout the company. And Bill Goldberg, who never wrestles, shows up, gets a title match, wins. And what have you accomplished? What have you done for that character? Because there's nothing special about it now. I don't care about the match with John Cena now. Like, I don't care. And the belt didn't have to matter. And I do think that there's something to the argument of, did he ever need a belt in the first place? I go back and forth on that. But if it was, we made a mistake by putting a belt on this guy and we need him to lose, that was a piss poor way to do it. And was very disappointing, because I don't know. And maybe the character recovers, who knows, but it really hurts it. It really hurts it, and makes the next person who beats him not special at all.
Well, the next person that beats him is not going to be John Cena. I see.
No, I agree.
Going over,
and that's
John
terrible
Cena,
because that's honestly the only way I think they fix this is by John Cena beating him. Because we've already seen the story of him going back to some, you know, legends and people he's already faced and beaten them, and then they change. You know, I think that's been an interesting story, and John Cena could have been a really good person to tell that with, because he's not really there that much. So I don't think a loss would hurt him. And to me, it also then speaks to building some momentum back. So if John Cena doesn't beat him, it's only downhill from here. Then, I mean, if they have no intentions of John Cena beating him, then what the hell are you doing? You know, that was your one saving grace.
I never expected John Cena to beat him. I think the Fiend beating John Cena makes perfect sense because of what happened at WrestleMania 30, and the Fiend has beaten everybody from his past, from The Miz, Daniel Bryan, and he also changes everyone. And the interesting point that was made on Pod is War that I didn't even realize, the Fiend tends to send everybody back to what they used to be. You know, after facing him, Daniel Bryan became basically American Dragon again, without the name. And The Miz went back to John Morrison, and he's a heel again. Seth Rollins, after facing The Fiend, is now a heel again on Raw with backup, just like he was before. And after facing The Fiend, Goldberg is now Spear Jackhammer champion, which he was in the past as well. So it's kind of, maybe not intentional, but that's definitely so. Who knows what it does to John Cena? Maybe it sends him back to the Dr. Thugonomics and he has to use the chain. Who knows? But I definitely don't. I can't. If The Fiend loses to John Cena, I think that's just horrible and you might as well just have him go away until be number 30 in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, because what's really the end game there? And
yeah.
What is John Cena's commitment to the company after WrestleMania?
Yeah,
like how long is he going to be back with the company? Is it just a wave after WrestleMania and he goes off to do whatever television show next?
Yeah, who knows? Here's the problem that I encounter. That's like the blessing and the curse sometimes of experience in the business and putting on wrestling shows and all of that. In typical Greg DeMarco fashion, I've done a 180. Just like I did a 180 on Hell in the Cell with Seth Rollins and The Fiend, because I hated it when it happened, and then I defended it a week later. I'm no longer that upset that Goldberg is Universal Champion. I still don't like that he beat The Fiend, but I'm not... I didn't think that Goldberg versus Roman Reigns needed a championship. I thought that was a marquee WrestleMania match without it. We talked last week. We took the four guys, John Cena, The Fiend, Goldberg, and Roman Reigns. We broke them into matches, and these are the two matches that I wanted, and I'm getting them. But I'm not happy about him, or I wasn't happy about him because of where the championship was.
Of course. You get what you want. Typical wrestling
Right, typical wrestling fan. I got what I wanted, and I wasn't happy about it. But I have to remind myself, because we watch wrestling from beginning to end, but you book wrestling from end to beginning, at least to do it effectively. And one of the things that I try to do in booking, first of all, this is... Miranda hates the ego thing, but I'm going to ask her to the ego thing. You've been to my wrestling shows. Patrick has too, and I'm going to ask Patrick this question as well. You've seen the shows that I produce. Taking away what it might do to my ego, would you, given two choices, would you say I'm bad at that or I'm good at that?
I mean, I'm always working the tickets at the door and putting chairs up. I asked Miranda, I don't know that I actually see the show.
The question. I'll ask you the question too, Patrick.
I would say you're good. You are detailed. You are organized. You are thorough. You're open to different points of view and ideas. You're receptive. So yeah. I mean, if on a scale of good to bad, you are good.
Okay. And that's more than I was even looking for. But Patrick, in terms of booking a wrestling show, would you say I'm bad or good?
The show that I saw that you booked was a good show.
Because I try to have things make sense. And I book with an ending in mind. Now, I do focus a little more on beginning to end because I want to put myself in the eyes of the fans. And I think that sometimes WWE gets so focused on end to beginning that they do. Sometimes you got to then sit down and look at the story from beginning to end and make sure it works and make sure it makes sense. But if you think end to beginning, so the end is they want Roman Reigns to stand tall at WrestleMania as the Universal Champion, hearing the adulation of the crowd in Tampa Bay. The Fiend is one of the most over characters in the entire company. If Roman Reigns is wrestling The Fiend, the fans are most likely going to be behind The Fiend. There is a better chance you're getting a positive reaction out of the fans when Roman Reigns beats a part-timer in a 5 to 8 minute match for the Universal Championship than you would if Roman Reigns is the one to finally beat The Fiend in front of a WrestleMania crowd. The one thing you didn't get in Saudi Arabia was the fans shitting all over Goldberg beating The Fiend. Because right. Saudi Arabia loves the part-time legends. So if you're going to do that, they picked the right place to do it. And although at this point, I think they're running a parking lot in Saudi Arabia. Like, it wasn't the same place. I was just like, what? This looked weird. I had to look up where it was. It was like, I don't know. Whatever. It was different. But to do it there, it made sense, but when I look at the end game in mind, Roman Reigns standing tall with the fans being happy about it, this is probably the best way to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
I get it. I don't love it, but I get it. Sorry.
Yeah, no. I agree. You bring up a good point as far as where they did this title change. It is in a foreign country that doesn't have kind of as hardcore wrestling fans. I mean, by kind, I mean really. And they love more of the spectacle. So it probably was the right reaction. And now you have this fan base here in the United States that will, you know, support Roman Reigns by proxy. And he may have the best response he's gotten at a WrestleMania in years because of this. It does go back to something that you mentioned. If this was always the end game, then why was Bray put as champion in the first place? If they knew that this was going to be a struggle, uphill battle for Roman Reigns, they knew the Fiend was over when they gave him the title. And it seems like the Goldberg match was just something that came out of left field. Maybe it wasn't, but I think the big thing for me is that if it was more of a fight, if it was more of a contest, I think I'd have more peace with it, but it wasn't. It was a squash match and I don't think it does it justice for the Fiend. But again, you mentioned location. You know, they just wanted to see, you know, four spears and a weak jackhammer, whatever, you know, I mean.
Weak ass.
Like,
four spears and a weak ass.
I don't think that they necessarily cared that it was four spears and a weak jackhammer. I think that it also
goes to weak ass jackhammer.
I think it also goes to what we've talked about before. I think Greg made the joke last week that Goldberg would be blown up by the time he got to the ring. Like, the dude's just not in shape. And that's the thing is, you know, I wonder, you know, did Bray Wyatt deadweight on the jackhammer a little bit? Sure. But it just, there was just the one, because I saw the clip, there's just no explosiveness there.
No.
Like, it's just not. He's kind of slow. He's kind of plodding. He does his, like, his little amped up kind of Ultimate Warrior-esque play to the crowd thing, and people love it. And it's a nostalgia act that crowd is going to love. You know, there were three very, very short matches with guys that took place, and two of them involved legends, because it really is about the appearance.
Yeah. Once they're there, it's kind of – once they make their entrance, that's like the peak for these guys. Everything else after that is gravy. I wanted to go back, and I made a note so I wouldn't forget. Of course, it was 45 seconds ago, so I shouldn't forget. But Miranda's comment about it coming out of left field. And said maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. I absolutely think it came out of left field. And you know, and you've accused me of being the WWE apologist and the WWE shill, and everybody loves to do that. And there's some truth to it. I won't lie. But I will usually defend them and say they planned ahead, whatever. I know for a fact this came out of left field. Here's how I know this came out of left field, Miranda. You and I sat in Gila River Arena in Glendale, Arizona, at the SmackDown taping. You and I saw Baron Corbin's big head on the screen declare himself for the Elimination Chamber match, where the winner would go on to face the Fiend for the Universal Championship at WrestleMania. That whole thing got scrapped and changed, and now it's a random tag match at Elimination Chamber. That's what tells me this came out of left field. That's what tells me they decided, oh, if we want Roman to stand tall, he's probably going to get booed against anybody but Goldberg. And look, it's a WrestleMania crowd. They still might boo, and they still might be cheering for Goldberg and want Goldberg to beat Roman Reigns.
Or they Austin Goldberg the whole thing.
Ooh.
I don't think they will.
Brock Goldberg.
Brock Goldberg, yeah.
Brock Goldberg. Austin was the official.
That's 15, 16 years ago. I don't think they're going to do that.
No. I'm not saying that they're going to go back and be like, hey, we did this back then.
Maybe.
We'll do this now. I'm just saying.
Maybe if they make Becky Lynch the special guest referee, they would Goldberg-Lesnar it. Who knows? But I don't think they'll Goldberg-Lesnar it. It's basically in Roman Reigns' backyard. The dude survived cancer twice. He's going That's over the part-timer. I think it'll be fine. Two things about the part-timer aspect of it. First of all, the age aspect. And Patrick alluded to it, and I wanted to go get real specific with it for everybody. Goldberg's 53. Chris Jericho's 49. That's a four-year age difference. And no one was complaining about Chris Jericho as champion. WrestleMania right now, you got The Undertaker. You got Goldberg. You got Brock Lesnar. No one's complaining about part-time Edge. When I say no one, I've seen a couple, but no one's really complaining about part-time Edge. If part-time CM Punk came back and was wrestling at WrestleMania, would anybody be complaining besides Patrick O'Dowd?
No, but I mean, I think there is a little bit of logic of when a part-timer holds a belt, and that's just talking about Brock Lesnar stuff, I mean, Brock Lesnar ruined it for everyone when you're a part-timer and you have the belt now. He's been way more consistent, though, and I don't think people have been giving him enough credit for his consistency this year as in years past. But, you know, those things are burned into wrestling fans' memories. And so what Brock did with his time as Universal Champion, that's what people are going to have as that foundation of a part-time champion. So everyone else that you have mentioned are not champions. And now, you know, Goldberg is. So he's going to be set to a different standard now. And with, you know, a platform like being the champion of SmackDown, which, you know, that show was just run differently, I think there's just going to be higher standards for him. So that, I think that's just a mindset to keep in mind as, you know, people giving crap about part-timers. I think it is very different when you're a champion.
He also walked into WrestleMania 33 as part-time champion, but that was against Brock Lesnar. So I think it's very, right, very different at that point too. But we're going to transition.
Awesome!
I came to...
Okay.
There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
I came to...
Okay.
To the good old days. They're never coming back. Watch a few more days.
I came to...
Okay.
Get my toothpaste. I guess you had a dream, but it can't be saved.
I came to...
Shut up!
Miranda, sell some t-shirts.
Yes, so... Ladies and gentlemen, you can go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot to go get yourself a chair shot t-shirt. There you have over 15 different styles that you can choose from. And of course, you better treat yourself. Get yourself a sauce style t-shirt. You can get the OG chair shot shirt. Jesus did the job. Hashtag save tag team wrestling. Suck it nerds. And of course, your queen of soft style t-shirt. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot to get your t-shirt today.
It's gonna be me.
That was the wrong one. Damn it. Played the wrong one. Oh, well, that's okay.
This is my yard now.
So I want to transition now, and we're going to play a little game of odds makers. And literally only one of these has to do with Elimination Chamber, but that tells you all you need to know about the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. We're going to come up with some odds. I got five questions in front of me. Sometimes I come up with a sixth on the fly, and we'll see if that happens. But we're going to talk about the important things, and then then I got some Elimination Chamber fun that we're going to do after that. So, odds makers, of course, everybody knows. I will ask the question, odds that blank will happen. Everyone will give their percentage at the end. We will come up with our averages for each question as well. So, if people haven't heard it before, you'll figure it out. It goes Patrick, Miranda, Greg, in the same order for all five, and we'll have some fun. So, Patrick, go down. Odds that anyone but Shayna Baszler wins the Women's Elimination Chamber match this Sunday. By the way, this Sunday, we just had Jam in the Sand 5 last Thursday, and now, a week and a half later, we have Elimination Chamber, the most worthless pay-per-view in the history of pay-per-views. Patrick O'Dowd, anyone but Shayna Baszler wins the Women's Elimination Chamber match.
First of all, Jam in the Sand is like outside of the pay-per-view realm, because it's its own special thing, and you know that.
To you.
To you. To anybody.
No,
still.
There are plenty of people that consider it as a pay-per-view. The world title keeps changing hands in Saudi Arabia. It obviously matters.
Anyway, so I'm going to say, because the WWE, every once in a while, when people are so certain something's going to happen, then flip the script, I'll say that it's a pretty strong chance, but I'll go with 15% that there's still something that could come out there.
Okay, 15% chance. Miranda?
I'm going to go a little bit lower. I'm going to say 11%, just because I think they've already invested so much into this that I just can't foresee
them. They invested a lot in Bray Wyatt, too.
But Goldberg's not in the Elimination Chamber match. With
yeah,
Dawn,
so. Fair enough. Yeah, and both on Becky and Shayna. So they invested a lot in both women in this program. So it'd be hard also looking at who else is in that Elimination Chamber. I just can't see who could win that they could build something off of for WrestleMania. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. But it's wrestling, so nothing makes sense.
I'm just going to do it. I'm sorry. 0% chance that anyone but Shayna Baszler wins the Women's Elimination Chamber match. I mean, it's because, and look, they've been stupid before. It'd be the dumbest thing ever if she lost at this point. Like, short of her having to get removed from the match for biting someone's neck, I can't find a reason why Shayna Baszler wouldn't win this match. She's going to win. Number two, Patrick O'Dowd, percentage chance that Goldberg leaves WrestleMania 36 as Universal Champion.
Well, I can't see them not ending this with Roman Reigns going over. How many times has he lost in the main event of WrestleMania, by the way? We should look that number up. That's got to be a bad stat for him. I'm going to say, what?
I think it's just
20. The only ones?
Both to Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. I'll go with, I'm going to go, I think he's a part-timer, not going back, so I'm still going under 50%. I'm going under 30%. I'll go 27%.
All right, 27% chance. Miranda, percentage chance that Goldberg leaves WrestleMania 36 as Universal Champion.
I'm going to go with lucky number 13. I think it's more about the stars aligning for Roman, that they're he's finally getting the response and the fan support, very likely. I mean, I don't know yet, but he's going to get the fan response that they've been wanting him to have for years now at WrestleMania. I mean, I would like to say last year, yes, but this coronation almost is what they've been striving for years. And I think this is the best opportunity they have right now. And I don't think that they're going to waste it. And if anything, it kind of makes sense to jump the belt around in order to help build Roman, because you're building someone. You know, even though Roman is fairly established, you still have to build him as a credible champion. And then this was a great situation to do it. So I'm going to be low, and I'll say 13%.
You know, I almost talked myself into it, but I didn't. 1% chance. Yeah. I just can't imagine. Like it would be the worst decision since Goldberg beating.
Boy, I'm the skeptic here. Huh?
I know you are. You're at 27%. Yeah. I just can't see it happening. It just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, unless they do something like the SmackDown after, which is not even in the same weekend anymore, it just wouldn't make sense whatsoever. Percentage chance, Patrick O'Dowd, that Brock Lesnar leaves WrestleMania 36 as WWE champion.
87%.
Really?
I really think he's going to come out of it.
You think so? Okay.
I think he's going to retain it.
87% chance. Okay. Miranda Morales, what do you think?
That's a good question. Because ultimately, too, you wonder about how many titles are going to change hands at WrestleMania. And with the certainty of
last year, they all did. Like last year, both world titles and all the women's involved in the match all changed.
Yeah, and that's last year. I think those were all different, very different stories, though. And as much as they're building Drew McIntyre, I don't know if he's quite yet the person to defeat Brock. I think he's going to be a credible competitor after this. I think he's going to be seen as someone who is on that upper echelon. But I'm gonna say 67%. Maybe it's not quite yet for Drew.
By the way, we are lucky. We are really privileged on this week's edition of Chair Shot Radio to welcome a very special guest. Drew McIntyre is here with us on the show.
Defiance of tyranny. You've come to fight as free man.
So nice of Drew to join us.
Free man you are.
Yeah, fast forward, Drew.
Would you be willing to trade?
I mean, Drew's here, but we physically fast forward.
That they may take our lives.
Look, it's uncanny how much he sounds like William Wallace. Like, it really, like it came up on Potter's War this week.
Or Mel Gibson.
Yes, like, that was actually one of the, so when you do Potter's War, you have to come up with a show name. And we had a list of potential show names, and one of those show names was, I got to find it now. Drew McIntyre doesn't mean Mel Gibson was one of the potential show names, because it literally sounds like he's doing a Mel Gibson impersonation when he talks. And I can't unhear that now that I've heard that. I am on the opposite side of the fence as you guys. I really don't think you – look, if Drew had eliminated Brock Lesnar and then didn't win the Royal Rumble, I'd feel differently. But if you have him eliminate Brock Lesnar and then win the Royal Rumble and then lose, it just doesn't make sense. We know it's Paul Heyman's pet project. I don't think it's going to be the main event now that we have Goldberg versus Roman Reigns on the card. There's still a lot of people campaigning for Edge versus Randy Orton to close the show. I don't think that happens either as much as I would love it. I am going to say there's a 36% chance that Brock Lesnar leaves WrestleMania 36, that wasn't even on purpose, as WWE champion. I still think it's most likely going to be Drew McIntyre. As we know, this Sunday now at Elimination Chamber, thanks to one random announcement by the ring announcer, there's now a tag team Elimination Chamber match where Miz and Morrison will defend against five other teams. Percentage chance, Patrick O'Dowd, that only two teams battle for the SmackDown Tag Team Championship at WrestleMania. That's a two-on-two match, not a multi-team variety match for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships at WrestleMania.
I mean, the WWE hates tag team wrestling, so why would they do
But they love throwing millions of teams into a match at WrestleMania.
That's what I'm saying. So, I'm sorry, ask the question again. Was it odds that it's only two teams?
Percentage chance that it is only two teams that battle for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships at WrestleMania.
I'll go surprisingly high on the other, on the wrong side of 50%. I'm going to go about a 30% chance. But you're right. If it's it's probably pre-show city too. You know, kickoff city.
I don't know about kickoff city, but I definitely. Well, I'm not going to go. Miranda,
it's kickoff city. Come on.
Yeah, I'm gonna go like 5%. Because it's already a long, I mean, people are already complaining about the card. Like, they got a lot of matches, and that's all that this tag team division, especially on SmackDown, has been. I mean, we just saw it when we were live at SmackDown a few weeks ago. It was a 4-on-4 match. So, I mean, with the Usos and the New Day teaming up against Morrison and Miz and... I forgot
Rude and Ziggler. It was Rude and Ziggler.
Oh, Rude and Ziggler, yes. I forgot because everybody was so like shiny.
80% certain it was Rude and Ziggler. Yeah, the whole heel team was shiny.
Yes, everyone was super shiny.
Sparkly was the word you used, actually. Sparkly.
Yeah, I just don't have any doubt. Like, they've been showing that already on TV, so and they already got a lot of matches on the card, so I'd be shocked if it was anything different.
I'm with you guys. 18% chance that only two teams battle for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships at WrestleMania. Maybe they get the ladder match treatment. Who knows? Last, but most certainly not least, percentage chance that AJ Styles beats The Undertaker at WrestleMania 36. Patrick O'Dowd.
Such a not fair question.
How is that not a fair question? The purpose of this
is I don't
want
to answer it, asshole. That's why.
So it's not fair because you don't like it.
Oh. It's right. You can play Ah Puddin' or whatever you want to play.
I could play
you
this one.
You do your thing.
Awesome!
I came to
okay.
Okay.
So I'm just going to own this. This is me from the heart, not from the head. Because I want AJ Styles to win this match so badly that I'm going to actually put it over 50%. I'm not going to say he's going to do it, but I'm doing it. Yeah, I know. You can look shock at all. This is hard overhead. We're going to go 70% chance that AJ Styles, that's my bold prediction, over The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Miranda, what do you think?
I mean, it's not out of the question. I mean, we've already seen him lose twice. So there's no mystique to it anymore.
Yeah, but Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns aren't exactly vanilla midgets. So
no, I'm just saying. I mean, it's possible.
Is it
probable? Probably not. So I'm gonna go on the other side of 50%, and I'm gonna say probably 22%. It's fairly low. But, I mean, yeah, the WrestleMania is still the Undertaker show.
That's right around the number I was thinking, but I feel like I'm more certain about it than both of you that Undertaker's going to win, so I'm going to go with 21% chance that AJ Styles beats The Undertaker.
You just Price is Righted, Miranda.
Yep, he did. Price Righted me. Wow.
Why didn't you just bid a dollar, dude?
Yeah. $1.
I did that earlier when I said Goldberg had a 1% chance of leaving Russell. So, here's what we have. Here are the end results of this edition of Oddsmaker. Percentage chance that anyone but Shayna Baszler wins the Women's Elimination Chamber. Of course, going on to challenge Becky Lynch at WrestleMania. Patrick said 15. Miranda said 11. I said 0 for an average of 8.666667. Percentage chance that Goldberg leaves WrestleMania 36 as Universal Champion. Patrick said 27. Miranda said 13. I said 1 for an average of 13.666667%. Percentage chance that Brock Lesnar leaves WrestleMania 36 as WWE Champion. Patrick said 87% chance. Miranda said 67% chance. I said 36 for an average of 63.33333. Percentage chance that only two tag teams battle for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships at WrestleMania 36. Patrick said 30. Miranda said 5. I said 18. For an average of 17.666667. And the last, but most certainly not least, percentage chance that the phenomenal AJ Styles beats the phenom, The Undertaker, at WrestleMania 36. Patrick said 70. We don't know why. Miranda said, we do know why. He explained it. Miranda said 22. I said 21. For an average of 37.666667% chance that AJ Styles beats The Undertaker at WrestleMania 36. So I wanted to share with you guys, this isn't like the game show or anything like that. I just more kind of want to see, because I know it's guesswork, and the only reason it's not guesswork for me is because I did the research to put it together. Otherwise, it'd be guesswork for me, too. I got some numbers compiled for Elimination Chamber, since there ain't shit to preview for this show, so let's just have some fun with it and talk about some numbers. So I just want to get your guys' ideas, thoughts, what comes to mind. So how many Elimination Chamber matches have taken place in WWE to date? What do you guys think? Just shout it out.
22.
Miranda?
17.
24. 24. Oh, yeah, it was close.
Look at that.
How many Elimination Chamber matches have featured women as the focal point competitors?
Three.
Should have stuck with two.
Two.
It is two.
I thought there was a women's tag one. Damn.
There was.
Yeah.
There's been one women's.
Oh, are you talking that tag. Have happened? Or
yeah,
we, I
have.
Think, did we include?
There have been is there two. Not...
Say that again?
There have been two. Two dates.
Oh, so when I counted the third one, that's why I lost. Okay, gotcha.
If you were counting this year's, that hasn't taken place yet.
Yes. That was what I did.
How long was the longest Elimination Chamber match?
Oh, gosh.
47 minutes.
Yeah, it was near an hour. It was like a 50, 55 minutes, I want to say, somewhere in there.
40 minutes was the longest Elimination Chamber match. 2018 in Las Vegas, Nevada. How long was the shortest Elimination Chamber match?
22 minutes.
20 minutes.
Very close. Very close. 19 minutes, believe it or not,
oh,
was the shortest Elimination Chamber match. SummerSlam 2003 in the beautiful city of Phoenix, Arizona. I was there. I was there for that one. It's the only Elimination Chamber match I've seen live because I didn't go when it came back here. Only a few cities have hosted more than one, and Phoenix is one of them. Who won the first ever elimination? This is the question that would be on the game show if we were doing the game show. Who won the first ever Elimination Chamber match? You guys have frozen. They have frozen, everyone. We no longer have Patrick O'Dowd and Miranda Morales here on the show with us for they have frozen. That's amazing. I gotta stop the recording. So we're back. There's some weirdness depending on how I edit it in. Internet froze. Now it's back. I was saying the beautiful city of Phoenix, Arizona. That is where I saw the 19-minute long Elimination Chamber match. So this is a question that would have been part of the game show if we did this as a game show, but we did not. Who won the first ever Elimination Chamber match?
Shit, I wasn't even watching wrestling for the first ever Elimination Chamber match. That was before I got back into it, man. Oh. That's not fair.
Was it Shawn Michaels? Go ahead, Brandon.
It was, in fact, Shawn Michaels. 2002, he won the first ever Elimination Chamber match. Who has the most Elimination Chamber victories?
Gosh, that just seems like a Triple H answer.
Right, when in doubt. Right?
The guy who invented the match has also won the most. And last question, just fun little trivia. Who has the most Elimination Chamber eliminations? And I will give you a hint, it is not Triple H.
Cena?
Okay. Sheamus.
Believe it or not, it is Chris Jericho with 10.
Oh, okay.
Triple H's Elimination Chamber has 4 Elimination Chamber wins, by the way. The most Elimination Chamber eliminations is Chris Jericho with 10. I was very surprised by that one as well when I was doing the research. But yeah, he has the most. Patrick O'Dowd, we're going to make it your turn this week once I find it. There we go.
It's time for another edition of Baron Corbin Sucks.
Baron Corbin sucks so hard, he didn't even know who he was facing if he won the Elimination Chamber at WrestleMania.
That'll do it for this week's edition of Baron Corbin Sucks.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out.
I got this weird fear that I'm going to forget to edit on the back end of the show, and it's just not going to. It's just going to end in frozen time, and the back end, as Miranda likes to say, will live in the vault forever.
In the vault.
In the vault. We haven't had it in the vault in a while. Patrick O'Dowd, this 3-minute warning is yours. There was a topic you wanted to discuss, so have at it.
Well, when we cut out, I joked with Miranda, I have to be the lone voice of following wrestling Twitter, but it's about the alleged burial of one Ricochet. Because the man lost 2 matches, so apparently the world is on fire. And I love it. I love it. You can never lose in wrestling, ever. You can never, ever, ever, ever lose, ever, or you're being buried. Do you think you're going
to
be buried?
Okay. When you suggested this topic, how did I react?
I know, you did the whole don't bitch at IWC Twitter thing.
Again, and no, before like, that, idea. What did I even think you were complaining about?
Oh, you thought I was complaining about what happened at, what is it, Blast of the Sand, Sand in the Blast?
Jam in the Sand 5.
Which, you were like, you didn't even watch that. And I was like, I know I didn't watch that. I watched him lose on Monday Night Raw. So, and then saw everybody bitch about that loss.
So here's why I was okay with this being a topic. Tell me why I should care. What Twitter thinks about Ricochet losing.
What? Oh, they hated it.
No, tell me why I should care what they think.
Oh, you shouldn't care. You don't.
Then why do you?
Because I think it's funny. Like, really? I just think it's funny. Like, the absurdity of it all is funny. And to me, I enjoy it. So I'm sorry that I find it funny. I calm down. Like, I'm glad you don't care about Twitter. I'm glad that you found this new, like, clarity,
better life,
stepping away from Twitter.
My life is zen fine now.
He's all like, "I'm so happy," and blah blah. It's weird blah, because I'll put my chair shot shit up, and I do I'm better than you. And I'm Greg DeMarco.
That stuff goes blah, up blah, on blah, its own. Blah.
What are you talking? What
I don't know.
What?
I'm listening to everything you're saying because everything you're saying has been accurate. So,
oh god,
you said it. Do you open the door?
In that mocking tone.
Yeah, it's fine. It's totally fine.
Whatever,
for me.
Lobster head.
You're the redhead. So
you're right, I'm a redhead.
Yeah, we know. I'll be honest with you. It's funny we talk about this, but like literally, I have to go on more than I want to for other reasons, especially for IZW. And I still spend the lead, like the one that I literally never go on to is Twitter. Like, I don't think I realized how much I hated it until I was off of it.
Right.
Really.
Like, can I ask an honest question about the topic, though? What is next for Ricochet, do you think? Like, I like legit. Like, what do we think is next for Ricochet?
It's WWE booking. You win, and then
so
you
doesn't
lose,
matter.
And then you win. No, and it doesn't matter at all. He'll probably feud with. They're probably going to do a big multi-man match for the United States Championship. That's probably going to involve Andrade, Humberto Carrillo, Rey Mysterio, Angel Garza. Ricochet's probably going to be thrown in there as well. It's probably going to be an amazing match. He'll have some amazing spots, and he won't win. Or he might win, and it'll send the fans home happy. It really, it's just, everyone's a main eventer, and everyone's a mid-carder, all at the same time in WWE. So it really, if Ricochet comes out next week and does something spectacular, it doesn't matter.
It just seems like it's such polar opposites too about though how he lost. He lost against Brock Lesnar. Okay, totally makes sense. He was got squashed, but then he lost against, you know, the 24/7 champ, and it's like, what? Why? You know, like I guess that is such a random placement for him, a random match. So I could see probably why there's people panicking because I mean 24/7 is
wait, whoa. Why should people panic? Greg just talked to me. Like Greg just lectured me about how this doesn't matter, and then this is what happened. Cut her off, Greg. What's that all about?
I'm saying why people are panicking. I'm trying to explain the panic.
Nah.
I actually understand why people are panicking. Oh, there's two reasons why people are panicking. Number one, they love Ricochet. Number two, they're stupid. That's why people are panicking. Because they don't know what they're watching, and they hate when I say this, and when I used to say this on Twitter all the time. It's obvious that you don't know what you're watching when you're complaining about certain things. It's a cycle. It's what they do. They're going to push you, and they're going to push you down to make sure you can handle being pushed down. That's
you know when you know he's been buried? When he's on a random tag team with some other stranger.
He's already done that. He came in that way. Like he literally joined the main roster.
But he's got to... He's got to win the titles and then like work his way down that way.
No, you know what? You know when he's being buried when he's losing to Cedric Alexander on main event. That's how you'll know he is being buried. Until then, Ricochet's
that's purgatory
over.
Of wrestling right there.
The thing about Ricochet, he's over. And once you're over, you're made. And Ricochet came in. He's been up there for a year and he's over and you can put him in any situation and it will make sense. I don't want to say believable, but it was acceptable that he was challenging Brock Lesnar. It was acceptable that he lost the way he did to Brock Lesnar. It was acceptable when he was United States champion. Ricochet is already in a position where he can do anything and we'll believe it. And that's why it really doesn't make a huge difference. It's a shameful thing to blast your head. All right, time is 9:04. It's 11:04 for Patrick O'Dowd. Patrick O'Dowd, how you feeling at 11:04?
You know, I'm going to be sad next week when it's 12:04.
It's true. That is true.
But I'll be okay.
It's 9:04. How are you feeling?
I'm a little tired, but, you know, I think I'll be okay.
Wait. Aw, Puddin.
Aw, I know. Make some tea, you know.
Make some tea in between shows.
Is some sleepy time tea.
You know how I'm feeling? Hey. You know how I'm feeling?
How you feeling?
Fantastic, man.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.